Active and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Here's my heart, hold it for me, it's all I have. Treat me carefully and don't you worry, beats for you only. You're the love I thought I'd never meet. I was born to be a storm. Keep my heart dry while others drown. I tell myself I'll carry on, I'll carry on. But when you come, I come undone. When you shine on me, anyone can see. I'm with you, I'm better me.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 18th of May, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Joining me in studio today is Mr. C.A. Newry and Reg Eldon, and we're going to continue the conversation that we started last week on grief and loss recovery and creative aging. Before we get there, though, I got a little bit of housekeeping. First is, the song we opened up with today is called Space for a Heart by Freetown Collective. I want to play that song throughout the show, so just a beautiful song. I want to open the show with it because I want to start the show by offering condolences to the family and friends of Danielle Denard, hardworking, fun-loving Bahamian young woman who just died far too soon. And she's a light that will be missed in the lives of all of her friends and family and loved ones. Once again, we say condolences and rest in peace, Danielle Denard. Next week is a busy week for art exhibitions. First up is the exhibition I Know a River by Matthew David Ramming, and that is opening at the DAF, that's the D'Aguilar Foundation Gallery, next weekend. Next Wednesday. On Thursday, opening before and running alongside Balancing Act by Jody Minnis and Drew Weech is Samantha Trico's exhibition, The Ordinary, at CAB Gallery and Studio. So that means at CAB Gallery on Thursday, there's going to be the show Balancing Act by Jody Minnis and Drew Weech. Well, not on Thursday. Samantha Trico's exhibition, The Ordinary, and then shortly after that, opening up will be Balancing Act by Jody Minnis and Drew Weech. And before that, I Know a River by Matthew David Ramming. That's just fascinating. I want to know, what does Bahamian boy mean, but I know a river? Because it sounds like it's a treasure or an interesting story. Anyway, for all of our art lovers, three exciting art exhibitions coming up. Also, on Saturday, I think it's Mr. Newry, Wear Your Crown Foundation event. That's this Saturday, the 20th, right?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think this Saturday, the 20th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Marsh Harbor, Abaco, at Friendship Tabernacle, Wear Your Crown Foundation presents A Day of Youth Empowerment. The speakers for that event are going to be Alicia Roll, who is the founder of Wear Your Crown Foundation, Denise Major, Petra Roll, Shannon Paul. They have four great speakers. They're going to have activities. They're going to have giveaways. And they're going to have my favorite thing, Mr. Newry, on the schedule. Lunch will be provided for free.
Good, good.
That's an important element of all sort of grassroots and NGO organizing. You got to recognize that people are taking our time out of their day, out of their work, out of their life to support an initiative. And so we feed them. We feed people who volunteer their time. That's just what we do. It's a good thing. An awesome note to share with you guys this morning. The documentary, Two-Faced, Gender Inequality in the Bahamas, has been nominated in the category Best Documentary at the Toronto Women's Film Festival. You can see the documentary at one of their additional 7 screenings this weekend or next week, Wednesday, the 24th. You can buy tickets online by going to Island House website, Four Walls website. And if you go to the Two-Faced Gender Inequality in the Bahamas page on Facebook, you will find the flyer with the information for the Grand Bahamas screening at the Regency Theater. And you scan the QR code on the flyer on the Facebook page for more information. Again, Island House, Four Walls, and the Regency Theater in Grand Bahama. Documentaries will be aired Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday at Four Walls. The screening on Wednesday at 7 p.m. is at Four Walls Squash and Social Club. Again, Two-Faced, Gender Inequality in the Bahamas has been nominated in the category for Best Documentary at the Toronto Women's Film Festival. Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
I'm good.
Good. Mr. Newry.
I'm always present, man. I'm eager to speak to Mr. Eldon. So I'm just going to be quiet and let you all engage and then jump in.
I don't want you to be quiet. I would like you to treat me like a grouper today.
And join
the conversation.
But this is a serious topic, you know, especially depression and mental health and finding ways to combat it, especially loneliness. There's loneliness I want to deal with, right? Because I have a number of elderly family members who is longing to be involved, and I just find myself busy at times. Mm-hmm. Right, it's not enough to me to share and to go about, and I'm looking for ways and ideas and concepts that well in regards to what I can do to stretch myself and to make sure I engage these family members to let them know that you are still appreciated, you are still needed mm-hmm. right now, right, and to make sure they feel special in this big world where everyone seems to be busy.
That's exactly what I want you to talk about.
Yeah, so I'll talk about that.
There you go. Okay. Reg, you're offering two courses.
Yes, I'm offering two courses. One is on grief and loss recovery. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel that grief is only associated with when someone dies. Mm-hmm. But grief comes from loss of any kind. Mm-hmm. And the most salient, like the most that we know, is when we have death in the family. We lose somebody we loved. And that is major grief, of course. But there's also grief when you lose other things. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of elderly people, for instance, if they are living by themselves, they have a cat, they have a dog, they have a parakeet, whatever. Mm-hmm. If that pet dies, they experience considerable loss mm-hmm. and considerable grief. People don't understand that. Some people say, well, that's only a dog, you know. He has no soul. But the fact is, loss is loss, mm-hmm. and we grieve loss. And the particular brand of work that I'm doing, where I was trained and certified in grief recovery, is they believe, it's a grief recovery institute out of the United States that have been in operation for many, many decades. And the first person to start this work here in the Bahamas was the late Dr. Wavell Thompson, who, by the way, his birthday was yesterday. I posted this big picture on my Facebook page yesterday, remembering him. Yesterday, Dr. Wavell Thompson would have been 82 if he was still living, but he died at the young age of 67 from a heart attack. But he started the grief recovery and loss recovery training and mm-hmm. group therapy here in the Bahamas. And I actually worked with him first. And then after he died, I went and did my own certification training. Mm-hmm. But they believe, the bottom line is that they believe that we do, that you can recover. mm-hmm. however devastating, however bad, however, you know, mind-blowing, however earth-shattering, whatever, that if you do the work, you can recover. Mm-hmm. And some people think, well, you know, I'll pray to God and God will help me. And but sometimes you have to actually do the work in sessions, talking about getting it out, working at your own value that's left, you know, because mm-hmm. you're still living. And one of the best ways that you can honor the person who has died is to live in their memory. I read a book some time ago when I was doing a spiritual coaching and spiritual direction course. And one of the books that we were asked to review and work with, this guy had lost his son at 28 years old, healthy young guy, went tracking, climbing mountains, his stuff fell, and he died. And he said he was filled with enormous grief. And people came to him and asked him, well, how can you still keep going about your life? He said, I have two choices. I either have a choice to honor the memory of my son and to live in his joy and to live in his memory, or then I close down, you know, a recluse because my sorrow is so great. Mm-hmm. So I turn my sorrow and my grieving into living, because by living, I can honor who he was and I can start doing for him what he would have been doing should he have still been here. And that's an amazing way that we can begin to approach dealing with grief.
Mm-hmm. And how do we communicate, share with family members that we're not fixated in the past, we're not ill, we're not hallucinating, we're not like literally seeing our past family member, but we are keeping them alive by living in their memory. Especially, you know, people who are like, oh, it makes me uncomfortable to think about that person, while you are sort of, you're not in that space at all.
Yes, that's a very, very, very good observation. There's a couple things we can do. One is, one of the things that I've done at my own house sometimes is when we have family gatherings like Christmas or Easter Sunday, or we come together. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've done is I've put candles in the center of the table for all of the close relatives of people. Like some of my friends would come. One of my friends lost her sister, lost her mother, lost her other sister. Other people lost close family members. And so we put candles in the middle of the table, and before we say grace, ask the blessing on the food, we basically say a kind of liturgy kind of mm-hmm. symbolic act where we light this candle, remembering, and we call the person's name, mm-hmm. and we thank God for his presence in our lives all the years that he lived with us. Mm-hmm. And we remember him today. We will never forget him. And then we light the next one and we call that person's name. There's things that you have to do to acknowledge that the person has died. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of people keep living. There's a book by Joan Didier, who she wrote a book called The Year of Magical Thinking. And she was a very, very famous, she just recently died herself, but she was a very famous writer for the New York Times, and her husband also. And he died sitting at the dinner table. She had just put the plate of food in front of him. She sat down, his head dropped in the plate of food, and he was dead. And she said that she lived a year magically thinking, although she's a very educated woman, very experienced, very, very exposed, she thought that he would come back. She knew he was dead. She knew that they had had his cremation. She knew that he had died. She had been to this memorial service. But somehow in her thinking, she knew, and she had this little act that she did. She said she gave away all of his clothes. And she got rid of his shoes and his suits and gave them to the Salvation Army and Goodwill. But she said his favorite sweater, his favorite pair of slippers, his favorite jacket, his favorite tie, she kept them hanging in the closet. Mm-hmm. And as weird as it was, she kept, like, this voice in her head kept saying, when he comes back, he's going to want those. Mm-hmm. And she knew it was unrealistic. She knew it was crazy thinking. But she said she couldn't bear to give those things away. Mm-hmm. And so I want to say to people who are listening in, who are going through that same experience, you know, it's okay to hang on for a while. But you do need to set some boundaries in terms of you can't forever live in the past, because your life is also a gift and you still have something to live for, and you have a gift within yourself to cause you to go out and also live. And one of the best things you can do is the person that has died, for instance, if you're grieving from loss, say it's your mother, say it's your daughter, say it's your son, say it's your husband, your wife, your best friend, you find out what the main characteristics of that person's life was. Like, were they a person who liked healthy eating? Were they a person who liked exercise? Were they a person who loved flowers? Were they a person who loved cooking? Were they a person who loved music? Whatever the characteristics, the things that named those people, then start living your life with enacting and taking some of those things into your own life. Mm-hmm. So that, for instance, say your mother died and she loved flowers. A simple little thing for recovery would be, as many times as is possible, either from your garden or from one of the florist stores or from one of the food stores, buy some flowers and do a little kind of litany. Mm-hmm. When you get the flowers, you put them in the vase. And you say some words, like you said, Mom, Mummy, Mother, these flowers remind me of you. And I'm putting these flowers out in my house today because I remember you. I thank you for what you did for me. I thank you for all the love that you gave me. I thank God for you. I miss you so much. Mm-hmm. But, oh, I'm so glad you was my mother. You kind of therapy that works on a person. Mm-hmm. Because, number one, on one hand, it's acknowledging that the person has died. We have to eventually acknowledge that the person has died and they're not coming back. Mm-hmm. And whatever we do, they're not coming back. And then we also want to celebrate the person they were and how much they meant to us. Do we miss them? Absolutely. Do we still cry? Absolutely. I don't think, you know, we just passed Mother's Day. I have a good friend who lost her husband recently, and she went to the Mother's Day service. Now, okay, well, that's not, you would say, well, why would that upset her? I knew it was going to upset her. It's like, why did you go? You knew you just had his funeral. And she said she was a total waste. She cried and wept in that Mother's Day service. She was totally wasted. She should never have gone. Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course. So we know those kind of things are going to happen. And there's a saying that our grieving, our crying, our hurting basically means only that we love this person. And the person's no longer there. We never stop loving somebody because they have died. We never forget them.
Nuri?
Yes. Yeah. You spoke about absence, you know, absence of them being here, physical absence. But I have, again, family members who have Alzheimer's,
and dementia,
whose presence is gone. That active person has wasted away or diminished. Mm-hmm. Is there grief in that?
Absolutely.
Missing that person, that entity. And how does one deal with that when the physical person is still there?
Mr. Nuri, I don't have any answers for that. I know, let me just say that I think one of the most difficult things we face in life is for one of our loved ones to have dementia or Alzheimer's. And I've had family members with this. I know some of my best friends who their parent suffered like this, their aunt, their uncle. It's probably one of the most challenging things in life. I don't know anything more challenging. And when you keep going to see this person and they don't even know who you are, mm-hmm. and they can't call your name, and it's the most amazing thing, families having to cope with that. I don't have any I don't have any quick answers for that.
But let's talk briefly about how we can support people
yes.
who are dealing. Because, for instance, that's something that you every day you're going to encounter it. And you're going to hold that energy.
Yes.
They're not going to hold it.
Yes.
They're going to have maybe their own frustration.
Yes.
And to help them along, your aim is to not, right? So that means you're holding everything. You want to say, hey, Mom, you remember when we were on the beach that time? Because it's a memory that you and Mom share alone. But to bring it up may frustrate her because now she realizes that she doesn't remember. So you don't do that. You're holding that. And you need a way to vent. And so I want, you know, for people who are in your life now, the main caregiver,
yes.
what do we need to do to support people that are dealing with this? The main caregivers.
Yes, I've seen examples where I know people where their wife or their husband is in a home and they have serious Alzheimer's. They don't mm-hmm. know them, and yet they turn up every day or every other day, and they go and they if it's a wife, they paint their nails, they mm-hmm. fix their hair, they put on their makeup, they walk and hold their hands and whatever. I think there's an Alzheimer's Association here.
Mm-hmm.
One of my good friends helps to do a lot of work with that.
Yeah.
I fully and completely support any kind of gathering or getting together of people. There is strength in numbers. When you sit and if you sit, and that's why the grief recovery work works so well, because we do it in a group. It's
collective.
We also
work.
Do it one-on-one, because
yeah.
some people don't want to come to a group process that helps with the healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that anyone that's having to face a parent, an elderly person, or even someone who's not that old with dementia, and try find another group of people that you can meet with.
Mm-hmm.
Regularize it to say that every Tuesday morning we're going to meet and we're going to have coffee and we're going to sit and we're going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of strength that a person gets when they get in those kind of groups, because the worst thing in the world is to be going through that, the pain of that, and then also not have any support.
Absolutely. I would say acknowledgement, right? Like allowing people to vent.
Yes.
Not the same way that the main caregiver can't get frustrated or show frustration to
yep.
the aging parent or aging family member, allow that caretaker to vent. Don't say, and you at this again, or you running on with this again. Yes, they are running on with it again. It's a tap. And they need a space to turn on the tap and just let that they could refill again, recharge, to be prepared to help their family member. Also, I think areas like we don't maybe realize that we're experiencing grief or that someone else is experiencing grief, and that our location in the relationship or the dynamic may be problematic. For instance, adult children of a parent who's surviving, the remaining parent. So my father's died, my mother's the remaining parent, I'm an adult child, and my mother's dating now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want no man dating my mommy. And I don't care, this is my daddy house, and this is my daddy wife. And how do we support those adult children who are grieving? Because they're still grieving the loss of their father. They're also grieving the loss of their mother. Their mother has now become a different person. And also, for new partners, right? The new boyfriend. How do we help them hold space for that woman who will always grieve her husband who's passed away?
And I would add to that. Because I've been...
Don't make this any more difficult. This is as difficult as it can be.
Can you imagine?
This can't get more difficult.
I've been to people's houses whose spouse died and they remarried, right? And there's that picture of the old spouse in the corner. And I said, I'm the new husband. I say, boy, I know. Do you get rid of that picture or do you allow space, like Aaron said, for that person?
Because no? I would say man or woman, right? In the same way that you create a ritual between you and the person who has passed. You create a ritual with every morning you wake up. Like if I married a man and his wife pitch up in the house, every morning I walk past, I can tell her good morning. Did you like the kid? Did you like the breakfast? You want some breakfast? What do you like? But because it's his, it's important to him. Yes. And I have to find a way to hold space for it. Because ultimately, when I pass, I would want him to do the same thing for me.
I can do a whole show on this because I experienced this. My mom died and my dad married again.
Mm-hmm.
And married fairly soon after my mom died. But the complication of that is he married my mother's brother's wife. So my aunt. My mother's brother. My uncle had died and my mother died. So my dad and my uncle's wife were alive, living in Eleuthera, and they decided to get married. And so there's a long, long story to this. I won't go into those personal details, but there's a couple things coming from this. One is that and you can't control any of this, and you can't speak. PBS had a series ago where exactly what you've described happened. The mother's husband died. She was fairly well-to-do. She had three adult children, all professionals, and she met this younger man, a little bit younger than her. They fell in love, and he was courting her, taking her on trips to Paris, da, da, da. And not one of the children liked him. And all sorts of things happened in the drama. And, you know, his car caught on fire. No one knows how it caught on fire, and da-da-da. And in the end, she brought her children together and basically said, it's your father who died, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still alive. I still have needs. I'm still lonely. You cannot fill my loneliness. As much as you love me and care for me and take care of me, you cannot do for me. And I need that. And you need to realize that I'm still a woman. I'm still alive. I still need.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that was a series. But the difficulty sometimes is the lack of honesty and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And it all has to do with how well-adjusted and mature people are, whether they can actually talk and sit down and have that conversation. Because the way the woman in the PBS series dealt with this is the way it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you know, my dad was lonely. My aunt was lonely. He was sitting up in his house eating by himself. She was sitting down in her house eating by herself. Of course, it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a lot of implications and complications in between there, which if they would have been handled differently, a different outcome might have ensued. But it's a very difficult situation, and because I don't know many Bahamian people who have been able to manage that really well. It always seems to end up in disaster. But I had an example the other day, a couple days ago. Two good friends of mine, she lost her husband. He died in an accident. She had a son with her husband. These are Bahamians. The son was young, and in a few years she met someone else and they got married.
Mm-hmm.
The new husband took the son as though it was his own child.
Yeah.
Although he already had children from a previous marriage. And he brought him up, loved him, nurtured him, mentored him, and that son saw him as his father. One of the most encouraging things I've ever seen for years was the son just graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a picture posted on Facebook where the stepfather was standing up at the graduation holding a big, huge, poster-sized photo of the son's father who had died many, many years ago. Listen, I have never, ever been touched by something so incredible, because that picture spoke many, many, many words.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to write and say, this has blown me away. I am so incredibly touched by this. An amazing thing. it isn't that we forget that you had a father, if we forget that you had a former relationship. We honor that, but like I just said before, the person is no longer alive.
Mm-hmm.
But their memory is precious. The relationship they had before they died is precious. Mm-hmm. Let's find ways that we could honor that the relationship.
And I can enjoy this relationship with you,
yes,
loving me and honoring,
yes,
me like,
yes,
a father, but,
yes,
but hold my responsibility,
yes,
to you, the child,
yes,
to help you keep,
absolutely,
the memory of your,
absolutely,
father alive,
absolutely,
and real. I would say it's almost like the man, you know, he turns to the child and say, child, it's saying, yeah, I have nothing to do with you. I am a man honoring another man by doing, I know, but like doing what I would hope another,
yes,
man would do for me.
But not many people, I don't know many people that I can call that I think would have done that.
Yeah.
But this man is has incredible integrity and character. He's also an educator. But to know that he was holding the picture, not his wife,
yeah,
who was married to this man. It was like the husband, the stepfather, was holding the picture,
yeah,
as the son walked around the graduation, walked across the graduation stage, spoke millions to me. I mean, and one of the most incredible examples I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is the definition of man and the definition of daddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Mr. Yu?
What about resources, right? You mentioned the Lifetime movie just now. Is listening, the PBS movie, sorry, correct that. Is considering listening to a PBS resource, a Lifetime movie, as to how these people dealt with grief, is it an option or should be encouraged to say, watch the show and see how they dealt with it, and you can embrace one or two of those concepts?
Yes, there's all sorts of resources available now more than ever in our lives. There are quite a few TED Talks on this. There are incredible resources on YouTube. As you know, you can find anything you want to get help with. So I would say, get into groups. Find other families. You just can't sit in your house and think that this stuff's going to happen. It's like you want to meet people, you want to get help, you got to get up and get out. You can't sit home. I mean, God is all powerful and mightiful and all that stuff, but it's not going to drop down in front of you. You're going to have to go out. There's got to be some kind of intention on your part to say, I need help. I want to find some people. There's lots of families in the Bahamas who have had their fathers or mothers marry the second time when their father or mother died. Find some other children, young people, adult people who have experienced that. And even if you just have a meal together or you go out somewhere and have coffee together, you know, start talking about it so that you are not left alone, isolated with your feelings, mm-hmm, and your thoughts, because you know thoughts become things,
mm-hmm,
and things become the reality and stuff. So
yeah.
So I would push, Mr. Nouri, really, I would push mainly to get people to try to find other people that they can talk with. And also to look for resources.
So is this, I know we're going on a break shortly, and there's something to consider on the next side of the break. I know you have some kind of seminar coming up or some sort. That's what it is?
Yeah, the courses,
Yeah, and I want to know, this is what you facilitate? The same meeting up of like-minded individual people who going through these things, and you solve, or not say solve, make available resources?
Yes, but let me say before we break that the course you're talking about is this course on creative aging, writing the next chapters of your life. If we don't realize that we have the potential inside us, within us, to solve our own problems and find our own solutions, then nothing will ever happen for us. I can't sort your life out. I can't sort Aaron's. I've got trouble sorting my own life out. But the fact is that if we are intentional about it, and we're with a group of people that are also intentional about it, there is power in minds coming together and synergy happening and people working together on a project. That's why I love groups. I think great things happen in groups. And it's a whole process. I know Bahamians don't trust each other for confidentiality, and they think their business will be all over Nassau. But the truth is, that's one of the ways we heal, and that's one of the ways we redesign our lives.
So we're going to go to the break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about creative aging. I just want to share something with y'all. You know, we're about 2 months at the past the end of tamarind season, right? And I had been able to really salvage. I found someone who was willing to climb and find me some tamarind. A lot of it was old because the season is done, and we took that tamarind to someone to shell it for us, and that person shelled all the tamarind and turned it into tamarind sauce.
Wow.
And I experienced a great loss. I was shocked by how it impacted me, you know? I wasn't upset, because I couldn't be upset at the person. I knew that. I couldn't be mad. But I was a miracle. I found another sack of tamarind, and we sent it to the same person. I know what I just said. We sent it to the same person to shell and bag up, and the tamarind came back basically the same way without sugar, you know? And I was so upset, because I had a plan, and I had even envisioned it, you know, and the loss was so great that I was upset. It took me a while to get to sleep last night. And then this morning, I got this message, right? I got this amazing message that there's a box of mangoes waiting for me. And it just, everything just lifted. Like, I want to apologize to the night for being so sad and so upset, you know? But like this moment of grief, it was so small, but so large at the same time. That's, our lives are a series of these things. And if we don't process them properly, those small things, the small losses can become tremendous trauma. And so it's important for us to talk. It's important for us to work through these things. And I want to say it's important to keep in touch with good friends who will save boxes of mangoes for you, like Reg Eldon and like Mr. Joe Knowles. Good morning to all of you all this morning. We're going to a break. We're coming right back. Stay tuned. On the Clock, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
You're the love I found. I thought I'd never meet. I thought, not in my wildest dreams, you're the love I thought I'd never meet. You're the love I thought I'd never meet.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here's my heart. Hold it for me, it's all I have. Treat me carefully and don't you worry. It's for you only. You're the love I thought I'd never meet.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Joining me today, Mr. C. A. Newry and Reg Eldon. And we're talking about two courses available to the Bahamian public offered by Reg Eldon, one on grief and loss recovery and one on creative aging. And now we're going to transition to focus on creative aging, because creative aging is a solution or will provide you with solutions or help you devise strategies to deal with grief and loss, recovery, particularly for people who may be grieving the loss of the life they used to live, right? People who are having difficulty transitioning from one phase or stage of their life to another, having difficulty building their identity, deciding who they want to be or being able to be who they want to be, feeling like they can't be, right? I know a lot of grandmothers may actually want to be the home-loving, bake cookies every day, just come throw these children on me, let me wrap them up in a blanket of love every day after school. They may want to be that type of grandmother, but can't because they have to work, because they're still supporting themselves, still supporting grandchildren. For those who are primarily taking care of children, but they imagined a different life. I think this course is exactly what we all need, you know, to build the tools to direct our lives in the direction we want it to go. So, creative aging, who can come to the course? Is there an age limit? Can I send my 17 and 18-year-olds there, sneak them in there for a little life lesson?
Yeah, of course, but it's not really geared towards very, very young people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the course will benefit those people who have lived a little bit and who've come up across some such challenges, some grief. They may be people who have suffered a bit or they're discontent with the way their life is going. I guess I want to say right away that this is not for old people per se. It's creative aging, but it's basically the second half of the title is rewriting or writing the next chapters of our lives. So the fact is, all of us come to stumbling blocks, all of us come to pauses, all of us come to blocks in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
When we get stuck, many times we're doing a job that 5 years ago we enjoyed immensely and we were getting a lot of fulfillment, but for we've grown, we've changed, our souls have shifted, and we want something else. The things that would fill us, fulfill us, satisfy us 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, no longer work for us. And the worst thing in the world we can do, I think, sometimes is to continue on our path of boredom and non-fulfillment, mm-hmm. and non-excitement. I think life has to offer challenges, but it also has to offer achievements and joy and fulfillment. So many people, if we had to take a survey today and ask people to talk about the joy in their lives, I don't think we would get really positive answers, because a lot of people see their life as a struggle, mm-hmm. and they're just struggling to survive. And I'm not in any way belittling or making light of the struggles we have in this country. You know, many, many people are struggling just to see nighttime and then again to see morning. And but every life, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter your circumstances, change is possible. I remember when President Bill Clinton did his inauguration speech, and he spoke after his election. He said, "The only thing I can promise you is change." And I never, ever forgot it. That's been many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that the only thing that is constant is change. So many of us suffer because we will not accept the changes that comes in our lives. And that's where the grief issue comes in. That's where the grief work, because you said something when we were taking the break, the little losses. Mm-hmm. The thing that we don't remember about grief and loss is that all grief, all loss is accumulative.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like pouring piles of sand upon each other. It keeps building, it keeps building. And sometimes we find our energy's gone, we're depleted, we're bored, we're sad, we don't have any joy left in our lives. And it's like, where did this happen? And the cause may be way, 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 way deep down under all of the stuff that's grown up that we have never examined, never worked on, never dealt with. So the course is an invitation for people to look at what's blocking their lives, what's stopping them from achieving, from being the person they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is to cease from letting other people define who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is from parents to boyfriends, to girlfriends, to wives, to partners, to parents.
Now, hold on. So you telling me that I can't look at my mommy and say, Mom, this is the third weekend in a row you going to fat, you going to party. At some point, you got to be my mommy. Are you not allowed to do that? Or I have to respectfully...
Well, I think from what I know about Mrs. Green, she brought you up very well. And when she needed to be your mommy, she was your mommy. And it's like, yeah, and she could still be your mommy, but she also has a life.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has needs and desires. And she's also a beautiful person. And her life is not over, however old she is and however old she gets, that she has to keep redefining who Lila Green is.
But Reg, if she tell me she want to live to be 107, Rastas eat healthy, and she going to a Rasta camp to live out the rest of her life, what am I supposed to do? I just supposed to sit back and say, well, Chief... Just let me know when to come pick up.
I think you will be called when she needs you and when she needs your help further, yeah.
And so the key is to be there and just be available.
This we spoke about this last week in terms of sympathy and grieving. But let me tell you that the ministry, and I call it ministry, of presence is an amazing thing. Yep.
Yeah. Just be
presence,
there.
Just being there.
Yeah. Producer, let's take this call quickly. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Sparky, how you doing? Up to your guest.
Hey, good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
Miss Green, this might sound like a joke to you. One of my old friends that read the governor, I read there as a doctor now. I'm retired now. He said he feels like retired one day. They said there's a new disease going around that the doctors don't normally tell their patients what it's all about because they can't do nothing about it. You know what it's called, Miss Green?
What's it called, Sparky?
It's called getting old. Miss Green, listen to this joke. He says, Sparky, up to the day you retired, you was energetic, running around, had time to get up, get ready for work, go home, do your work, come home, this and that. You was never feeling no pains, no ills, no nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say, right. He say, what happened the first Monday when you woke up and you realized you didn't have to go to work and didn't have nowhere to go? And you wasn't going back to work no more because you was too old to be employed. I say, all kind of things started happening. You started feeling like pains in your chest. So you diagnosed yourself. You having a lung problem. You having pains in your back. You figured you have a kidney problem. You having arthritis in your knees because you're not exercising as often. And everything started coming. You say, Sparky, it's called getting old. Hello?
Yeah, right there.
All of us are getting old. And as energetic as you feel, it's going to happen to you too. And one day, your children can be saying the same thing to you. Mommy, why don't you stay home? Why are you going to fish fry?
That's
you
right.
70, you 80. You ain't got to hang around them bunch of children.
You going to go see Avi. Avi say, wine, granny, wine. Shake Lucy.
Let everybody know it's called getting old gracefully and enjoy your life. He will call you when it's time.
Thank you, Sparky. Absolutely. Producer, see if you could find Wine Granny Wine by Avi. Shake, Lucy, shake. Mr. Eldon, please close out the show. Remind us, how do we sign up for the courses? Where do we find you? And where can we find more resources?
Yeah, thank you, Aaron. And thanks for having me on the show for 2 weeks. It's been an incredible opportunity for me. First of all, don't stay where you are. Don't accept what you're experiencing if you're not satisfied and happy with it. You can also always make changes, whether you're grieving, whether you're stuck in your life, whatever. So my website is simply regeldon, regeldon.com. All of my information is on there. My email is regeldon@gmail.com. If you contact me, the first group starts on the last Monday night, last Tuesday night, and let me give you the exact date. The 30th of May. The groups run for 6 weeks, and they are 2 hours, 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock. And if you contact me, I can let you know all the information. But it's been a great opportunity to share. And so I'll wrap up to say that one of the worst things I think we can do to ourselves is to entertain the belief that we are stuck and we don't have any options. Mm-hmm. As long as we're breathing, we have options. And I believe people can create great transformations for themselves and they can have incredible changes in their lives. And if you're hurting, if you're really grieving, don't be scared to push yourself to ask for help, mm-hmm. because you can recover and there's people that can work with you to make sure that you recover.
Why would your God leave you in a state that's unrecoverable from?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. He would never burden you. Yeah. She would never burden you. You would never be burdened in that way.
So can I have a final thought?
Yes, sir.
I don't in any way subscribe to the belief that God puts any of this on us.
Mm-hmm.
My God that I love and serve is a loving God who loves us and bathes us in love and acceptance. And I don't ever think God sends us punishment and illness and death to punish us, mm-hmm. because we need to grow and have spiritual lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it. I guess I'll get in trouble for saying it. But the truth is, that's not the kind of God that I'm involved with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Reg.
Thank you.
Uncle Reg, as I
listen, grieve, how long we known each other?
As I grieve the loss of a youth, of youth that I could never get back. Oh, the years and years. And that's why these conversations are important, because these are the ways that we keep ourselves alive.
Absolutely.
And this is your perpetual energy machine, finding a way to hold those moments, not as loss, but as memories. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. But you got 30 seconds.
No problem. I just want my brother, and I love him.
Mm-hmm.
But there is in the Bible where Jesus has, God himself has punished his people for not going according to his will. You know, the children of Israel and also Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sir. Don't let me have to cut you today. Thank you. Play that song for me, sir. Play that song right away. Dear caller, please don't do that. It's such a respectful show. Such a respectful show. I'll tell you what my Grammy say. Avi, sing the song for me. Never too old to enjoy yourself, Bahamas. Have a great day, and thank you once again, Reg.
Thank you. God bless.
Yep.
I went to this island, 300 miles away. Say, what's in that way? Only to be surprised. Man, listen what I got to say. I went downtown, listening to super deep sound. I saw these dreaming men, they were sculling on the ground. One of them so